Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world can satisfy, my Lord. Jesus, you are the cup that wouldn't run dry. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you were merciful. Of my past and present wrongs, holder of my future days to come, your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. There's nothing like your presence, God. All I want is to be with you. There's nothing like your presence, God. All I want is to worship you. Nothing like your presence, God. All I want is to be with you. It's nothing like your presence, God. All I want. Oh, there's nothing like your presence, God. All I want is to worship you. Nothing like your presence, God. All I want is to be with you. Nothing like your presence, God. All I want is to worship you. Nothing like your presence, God. You are God, and we worship you. 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 There's nothing like your presence, God. Nothing like your presence, God. All I want is to be with you. Nothing like your presence, God. All I want. Nothing like, Lord, nothing like. All I want. Oh, nothing like your presence, God. Yeah, you are God, and we worship you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, open your Bibles. Let's get into the Word. Let's start from Luke 18 from verse 16. Luke 18 from verse 16. Can we read together, everyone? But Jesus called. Are you alive? Let's be together. One, two, go. See the emphasis at the last part of scripture. I said they demonstrate to you what faith is all about. What? Faith. In other words, Jesus is not saying children are more important, or that he wants to make people understand children have a place in the kingdom. Of course, children too will be part of the kingdom, and children will enter into heaven too. But he wants to use children to explain something about faith to everyone. Are we together? So he said, allow the children come to me. Is that they demonstrate to you what faith is all about. Alright, let's see it in the Amplifier rendition. The Amplifier rendition. It said, but Jesus called them to himself, saying to the apostles, allow the children to come to me, and do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as this. The TPT rendition say they demonstrate what faith is all about. In the Amplifier said, the kingdom of God belongs to such as this. Meaning, when we're talking about kingdom ideologies, Jesus speaking, it will counter your own opinion. Alright? You know, like children, you teach them everything they know from A to Z. Are we together? Whatever you teach a child is what the child grows up to become. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should grow, and when he's grown, he will never what? Depart from that path. It simply means that anything you want to see in the life of your child or of a child, you start from when they are children and it becomes their reality. And God is using that to teach us something, that if you must receive the message, the understanding, the teachings of the kingdom, you must liken yourself to being a child. You must see yourself like a child. You must receive from a child's perspective. Because you see, when we're teaching you these things, a lot of times they counter your opinion. Are we together? Because over time in this world, as you grew in every part of your life, you have several opinions of what life should be. Are we together? For instance, if I come and say, you are perfect. Some people will feel disturbed because over time they've heard that nobody can be perfect. Are you seeing that? But meanwhile, in the Bible, in Matthew 4, the Bible says, be what? Perfect. As your Father in heaven is what? Perfect. So you see, if you are somebody that has been in time for a long period of time and have heard all of those opinions of men that nobody can be perfect, you begin to fight this. But if you tell a child you are perfect, the child will grow up thinking she or he is what? Perfect. Alright? Because that's the first thing and the only thing they know. They are like empty vessels that you can fill. So God is like, if you want to really understand this message of the kingdom and partake in its reality, you must be like a child. Although you have heard, you've heard a lot of things, you've witnessed a lot of experiences, but you have to just liken yourself like a child, have the posture of a child, so that you are able to receive these realities of the kingdom. Are we together? I'm saying this because some of us seated here probably are coming from places that are, you know, we've been taught several opinions outside the Bible, and they have become our very reality. You know, for instance, Jesus said something that is disturbing to the religious body, especially. He said in 1 John, let's see it briefly, 1 John 3 and 9, in the NKJV rendition, NKJV. Let's read together, everyone. Whoever has been born of God. Are you guys alive today? Which kind of child? You want me to go home, Doc? Are you alive? Let's read. Want to go? Is this popular? Huh? It's not popular. If they say you cannot sin, will you believe? You are just met on the road and somebody said you cannot sin. Because you've heard so many times that you are a sinner. See what Jesus said. It's not
a man that wrote it. Do you know this part of the Bible has been in the scriptures for a long part of time, long time? But many people don't like to read it because they don't believe it. He said, whoever has been born of God, this is what it means for to be born again. Hallelujah. Let's see in John 1, what it means again to be born again. Jesus said to us in John 1, is it 12 or 11? Media, help us. Is it 14? That says you are born again, not of what? John 1 verse what? Alright, let's read together. I want to go. Who were born not of what? Nor of what? Nor of what? But of what? Let's see it in red. Amplify our edition. Together. I want to go. Let's see for verse 12. So you understand where we're coming from. Want to go. But to us, he gave. That is. And this new bed, verse 13 says, is that who were born, not of what? Blood. Natural word. So your new bed is not a function of what your father and mother decided many years ago. Alright? In other words, you should not liken yourself after the order of a natural man. Do you understand? It's a no of the will of the flesh, physical impulse. The same thing we're talking about. No of the will of man. These are more like different adjectives. No of the will of man, that of a natural father, but of God. In other words, don't liken what you can do to your natural birth. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? I'm a so-so man. I was born from so-so part of the world, so I have to like this. I have to do this. No. The Bible says you are born again. But of God, that is a divine and what? Supernatural birth. They are born of God spiritually transformed, renewed, and what? Sanctified. And see what the Bible says about a born-again child of God. Go back to where we were in the NKJV rendition. 1 John 3 and 9. We'll read again. Now louder. Want to go. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. You see that? I didn't write the Bible. It's in our Bible. I hope you are saying it in your own Bible too. Hallelujah to Jesus. Meaning, as a child of God, you cannot sin. You know, I always tell you people, don't liken yourself after the order of the flesh. Let's see what Jesus said in the Amplified rendition of 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. We all know this, but let's read it again. Alright, let's read. One to go. So from now on, we regard no one from a word. We regard no one. Did he say Christians alone? It's like we begin to see everybody from another point of view. In other words, when you are preaching to a unbeliever, you are describing the original, his original self to him. That's what you do when you teach the gospel. So you are telling the person, even though you are smoking, you are supposed to be the righteousness of God. You're not supposed to be a sinner because Jesus took away your sin and all of your shame. We saw that in scripture, isn't it? Let's see Romans, before we continue reading Romans 6 and 6, we all know that, but let's read it so that we just get this properly. Want to go? We know that our old self, our what? That is without the Holy Spirit, was what? In order that our body of sin might be what? So that we will no longer be slaves to sin. You see that? So the old self has been what? Destroyed. That old self that is a slave to sin has been destroyed. You know, people say, body no be fire. You know, we have slogans like that. Body not be firewood and etc. You know, I always ask people, if you say you are not perfect, all right? If you say you are not born again, you don't believe the reality of scriptures, why are you angry when people sin? I asked a pastor one time, I said, you said nobody can be perfect. You are countering the opinion of Jesus. Media, you're going to give me that scripture that says, be perfect as your Father in heaven. Now, you are countering the opinion of Jesus. All right. And you make people feel like it's cool to sin sometimes. Then I asked the pastor friend, I said, what if the guy wants to sin with your daughter? Is it okay? He said, I will kill him. I said, no. You have to understand that you have actually said that nobody is perfect. So people can sin in different dimensions. It should be cool, isn't it? But when a lady is pregnant, we drive them from church. Why? If nobody is perfect, let them be in church. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? What am I trying to say? You see, you can have that opinion if you are in the world. But what did the Bible say about the church? You know, before we continue here, let's go to Ephesians 4 from verse 11 in the Amplified rendition. Ephesians 4 from verse 11. It says, and his gift to the church were varied. He himself appointed some to be what? I'm going to leave everything in the bracket. Some as what? Some as what? Evangelists. And some as what? Pastors and what? Teachers. Why did he do this? Next part of scripture. To fully equip and what? Perfect the saints. God's people for works of what? Self. To build up the body of Christ. Meaning the church. You see? The reason why God created the church is so that you become what? Perfected. Say, I'm perfect. And that's why he said to you, he called you, he said, be is like, if he said be is like calling into a reality that he has actually ordained from time past. The pastor said, be perfect. In other words, I've done something in Pastor Ed that should make sure that he works in perfection today easily. He said, therefore you shall be what? Perfect. Just as your what? Pastor, do you mean I will not be able to sin again? Yes. That's what the Bible said. I know it blows the roof up your head, but the Bible said you can be perfect and can live far above what? Sin. You know, forget religious and those churches that say you cannot be perfect. I always tell you that they expect that you will never be perfect, and that is why they create days for you to come and confess your sin. But Jesus never had a day for people to come confess their sins, because he expected everybody to be perfect. We never saw Jesus said on Saturday, disciples, come tell me what's up. Tell me. What did you do through the week? Peter, you traveled to Damascus. What the hell happened there? He didn't expect them not to be perfect. He expected them to be what?
Perfect.
Say, I'm perfect.
I'm perfect.
Now, boldly declare it. Say, I'm perfect.
I'm perfect.
Don't be scared of your neighbor. Say, I'm perfect.
I'm perfect.
Now, if you don't agree you're perfect, that's why you will sin after church.
Yes, sir.
All right? You are not designed to pursue money, smoke, drink, be drunk, follow women, and die. You are bigger than that.
I'm bigger than that.
Your belly is not your God. You know, I was meditating last night and Lord was speaking to me. He said, every great person live for something bigger than them. Jesus did not live for himself. Check the Bible. He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And what was that? He said, preaching the kingdom to other cities. He said, for this purpose was I sent. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is not heaven at last. The kingdom is what? Heaven on earth. In Matthew 6, they said, teach us how to pray. He said, pray like this, our Father. They used to call him God. And Jesus was the only one calling him Father. So he said, I'm bringing you into a closer relationship with God. Don't call him God no more. If you say God, that means he's strange to you. So he says, call him our Father. He said, who art in heaven? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom. Your kingdom. Your kingdom. Is that not what Jesus prayed for? He said, your will be done as it is done where? So what is God's goal for man? That his kingdom come. And the earth is part of God's kingdom. How many of you have been baptized, were baptized with water? Say the truth. What happened to you? Let's be very sincere. Did you change? You just had a bath that was not clean, an unclean bath. That's just the truth. But when you were filled with the Holy Spirit, what truly happened to you? The word "and" there in John 3 is Kai. Everybody say Kai. K-A-I. It works like a semicolon. And one way to explain it in English is "which is." Alright? Water, which is the Spirit. In other words, you wash people. The effect of the Holy Spirit on a man is as water washes something. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. But of course, people stood, you know, somebody now said, but John the Baptist baptized with water. Of course, we saw the algorithm. Let's go to John 1. He said, the reason why I had to baptize with water is so that I reveal the Messiah. I find the Messiah for who? Israel. Meaning like, it is more like an algorithm. An algorithm means a step-by-step process. You want to discover something, so you put them through a process. Let's for instance take use gold. Let's say there's an algorithm to discover gold. If you want to discover gold, you take it and put it in fire most times, isn't it? If it burns, it's not gold. If it doesn't burn, then it's what? Gold. And God gave John the Baptist that strategy to what? Discover Jesus for Israel. It's in the Bible. Media, look, just get that scripture for me so that we show them. Are we together? Are we together? It's all, I say you have to be like a child. I said it in the beginning. If not, you will not believe what I'm saying. Alright? Another part of scripture that affirms this. It said, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. Next part of scripture. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to what? Lose. Next part of scripture. These things were done in what? Where John was what? Next part of scripture. Are you sure we're there? 31. Okay, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Next part of scripture. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is prepared before. For he was before. Scripture. Then we'll conclude now. I did not know him, but that he should be what? Therefore I came what? So why was he baptizing with water? So that he gets Jesus and discover him to who? Israel. Are you seeing the purpose there? The Bible never said it should be a practice. Alright. Another part of scripture, Hebrews. You know, I wonder whether my mom will even believe what I'm saying. Because you see, when you grow up, she's in church. When you grow up a child and you told him to go and do all the baptisms and the rest, and now he's saying this kind of thing, is as if he's deviating from the path of truth. I know what is going on in her mind, I know. Hallelujah to Jesus. But I'm sure she will be calm. She'll be calm. You understand it? He said in Hebrews 9 and 10. Let's see Hebrews 9 and 10. It's like from verse 9 or even verse 8. It was symbolic for the present time which both... Let's see from verse 8 so that it makes a lot of sense. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle was still standing. In other words, the reason why it is evident that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest was because of the first order still standing. What was the first order? The Ark of the Covenant. Can you remember? That ark that had two angels by the side, you know, it looks, they're beauty with gold, you know, it started from Moses in the wilderness. So, as long as they were practicing and raising that ark, the Levites, remember, they were the ones carrying the ark. The Bible says it was an indication that the way into the holies of holies was not yet what? Revealed. Because in the New Testament, we don't carry ark, alright? God is not on our shoulders in the New Testament. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Next part of scripture. It then says, it was symbolic for the present time in which gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the sacrifice perfect as regards to their conscience. Next part of scripture. Then it says, concerned only with what? Food and what? and what? Various washings, and what? Fleshy ordinances imposed unto the time of reformation. Meaning all of these things are supposed to last until a time. And the Bible calls Christ the end of the law, the end of all the Judaistic practices. For instance, Jesus is the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. They were sacrificing lamb before, but when Jesus came, he said, I am the lamb that what takes away. In other words, if you sacrifice a lamb today, something is wrong with you. But it was a practice in the old. So don't just leave the lamb, or just be, you believe the lamb, but you forget about water. Even water was a practice of the old. Several washings of the feet. You don't need to wash your feet if you are in Christ. Now the Bible says, if anybody be in Christ, is a what? If you wash your feet after being in Christ, is if you have a problem. If Christ cannot make you new, or is it that when you get into Christ, your feet are outside? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It's a wrong practice. With all due respect, I remember my former HOD when I was in BSU. I wanted to meet him for something. There was a problem with the fellowship I used to pastor. But I say with all due respect, says Pastor Simon, keep quiet. Anytime people say with all due respect, you're about to just say something disrespectful. I just laughed and held my... I said, sir, can I write it? But with all due respect to anybody practicing that, we're not trying to mock. You see, in time past, revelation was quite not really plenteous. Let me put it like that. It was quite limited. And that's why the founding fathers of faith, some of them had what they call the canon laws. Alright, you know what they call canon laws? They are man-made laws that help people to touch God. They created it from a very good motive. Alright, but sometimes these canon laws can be wrong. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? For instance, Jesus said something in Ephesians 5 where we were reading. He said, I don't want my church to have a spot or a wrinkle or anything like that. He said, the church should be rather what? Holy and what? Spotless. And I did that example here. Let me do it. For the sake of anybody coming for the first time, can we have any lady here that has any cloth that has a pocket? Any cloth that has pockets? Okay, mommy. Ladies are mommy. Yes, okay, my, you can come. Hey, oh, this one that I'm using in law for example. It's not small thing, though. With all due respect, Mark, just amen. Now watch. The Greeks had a tradition. You know, if you want to understand the Bible, you must understand from the history. Because you see, these things were not written to Nigerians initially. They were written to people in their time and days. You must understand the circumstance around why they wrote what they wrote. Not just read it. For instance, if you look at this part of scripture, when they say spot or wrinkle, they don't mean a spot on the face, of course. Nor any sickness that is called a wrinkle in our today's world. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Of course, that's not what they meant. You know, one time I was teaching somewhere and I told people the eye of a needle. And they were truly thinking the eye of a needle should be needle. You know, needle that we sew cloth. They think the eye of a needle should literally mean that small part you put thread and sew cloth. So I was like, then who will go to heaven? If you see it like that, nobody should be rich. Everybody should be poor. But nobody pray for riches like church people. And you are now in church, you know, still believing that part of scripture, wrongly translated. And I did them the exegesis. I showed them how that in the Old Testament, in the days of Jesus, there was a broken part of Jerusalem's fence. The nickname of that broken part of Jerusalem's fence is called what? A needle. The eye of a what? A needle. That was a nickname. But if you don't understand the history around what that part of scripture, you may never get it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So whenever they are passing with their camels, even Jesus followed that broken part of Jerusalem's fence. For some of you that jump fence, or hallelujah to Jesus. But he did not jump fence. It was just broken, so he passed. Because I asked the question, how will he know about it if he did not see it? Are we together? So they will press the camel, and when they press the camel, it will eventually what? That's what the Bible says, it will be easier For what? For one to pass through the eye of a camel than for a word. Listen to the words of Jesus. It will be easier. He did not say it will be impossible. Maybe it will eventually happen, but it will not be easy. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So they will push the camel eventually to enter with a little stress. He's saying that when people have money from hard work and every of their means, and you come and preach the kingdom, it will be hard for them to just say, Kai, no. This pastor doesn't know what he's saying. I will tell them, Jesus does not really care about all of your money. They'll be like, really? Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain? He said the worth of a man is not a function of the things that he consists of, the material position he has. Remember the rich man? He made everything, then he answered and said, oh, my soul, rest. What did Jesus call him? He said, oh, fool. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why a lot of times when people begin to become rich, some people that are not wise. Because I told you, prosperity is not bad. But prosperity for a foolish person is bad. The Bible says the prosperity of a fool destroys him. Prosperity does not destroy people. But the prosperity of a foolish person destroys him. Chris Devon would tell us many years ago. He said, when you become born again, and God eventually makes you rich somehow. He says, sometimes you'll be driving. Then there's this holy compassion. You see a lot of guys, you pass them. Then you see a lady. You know, say, oh lady, the peace of the Lord be with you. I can't allow thou to be walking. Jesus would not like that. Dear lady, hop into the car. Wherever you are going to, I'll take you. But there are like five men you pass going to church. Why did that have to happen now? You have a car. And when she enters now, you are asking questions that don't concern church. So if Jesus wants to preserve your soul, he will make sure you are broke. Are you seeing? You know, some of you now, think about it. If you truly are asking like 5 guests out on Facebook, why do you think Jesus will make you rich? Even asking out, you are not asking one, five. If it's Jesus, you know, the problem is that you're not praying to God to make you rich. Maybe you should have said to Amadioa. Because if it's Jesus you are praying to make you rich, you will never be rich. He will never support that character. Because if you give you money, that character will flourish. It will be amplified. Give a foolish man money, you'll become more foolish. Give a good man money, you'll become more good. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So now you can judge for yourself why you are still broke. Then understand that Jesus is not the reason. He said, what will a man offer in exchange of? He prefers your soul than any other thing. Well, I'm so sorry. Let me finish now. In ancient Greek, they had a tradition. So that you understand why we're... You know, some people say, Pastor Simon will just come to church and after 2 or 3 minutes, he will not condemn a particular belief. Why? Let him leave everybody to believe what they want to believe. It's wrong. We can't leave you to believe. Didn't you see what the Bible said about us, the fivefold ministry? What did he say we'll do? He said we'll perfect the saints. I've gone to somewhere to pray for somebody. I will never forget. They called me to pray for this lady. She was dying. And I was feeling the anointing of God all around me to touch. You know, the anointing is not for even the preacher, it's for people's needs. It's the truth. When Moses even disobeyed God, remember, water still came out. God said, speak to the rock. What did he do? He struck out of anger. Did water come out? Is that what God told him to do? No. But because God wanted the people to drink water, he made it look as if Moses did the right thing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So the anointing on the preacher's life a lot of time is for the people. So immediately I got there, I felt the anointing to lay my hands on the lady. And she told me no. The lady on the sick bed, so she was pulling on her body, you know, everything on her body. She said no. She didn't want it. I said, why? She said she's seen her chaplet. Now, no offense to anybody. I said, really? Then I thought for a minute, I said, what are you saying? That someone should pray for you. You know, if you want to say the truth, a lot of times you hurt people. That's why a scholar said the most hated people on the earth are those that say the truth. If you want everybody to like you, don't say the truth. Even Jesus was hated. The Bible says he was hated without a cause. Meaning he was doing the right thing and that's why they hated him. And who hated Jesus the most? The church. It's not the monks. They're the one that said crucify him. Why? He came and said, Moses said that because people were stubborn. But in the beginning, it was not so. Me, I'm changing the doctrine. They say, Jesus, you cannot. You grew up in this church, you cannot change us. I hope you know Jesus was going to the temple every time. He was going. Somebody is a member of church. They saw how he grew up. He now stood up and said, you people are wrong. How will you believe that kind of thing? You know, sometimes they ask the question, is that not the son of Joseph the carpenter? We know his father, that carpenter there. Now they talk this rubbish. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, in the Bible, Jesus said, the disciples said, Jesus, pray to the Father on our behalf. Pray to the Father on our behalf. And Jesus looked at them and said, why will you tell me to pray to the Father on your behalf? He said, pray to the Father yourself. The Father himself loves you too. Even Jesus refused to pray for us. He said, we have one access to the Father by the Spirit. Why will you need anybody to pray for you? You will die on the sick bed. I'm not trying to curse you, but it's the truth. I've seen a lot of people die out of ignorance. He said, my people perish, not because I'm not God. He said, my people perish for lack of what? Knowledge. I told some people somewhere, I said, don't think in heaven you will go and see your church boldly written. I tell you the truth, look at the book of Revelation. Jesus shocked a lot of churches in the book of Revelation. When they came and when John encountered him, he said, that church have off the candlestick a long time ago. They are not a reality in heaven. He saw candlestick off. He said, that church you have off. He said, they are not, we have removed them. They may be making waves on the earth, but in the realm of the spirit, they have been removed. Don't carry it on your head. You are not the one that, you don't even know how it started. What is more important is the Bible. It is the most valid document that captures God. Any other document written by man is man-made. It doesn't matter. And that's why I'm trying to explain this right now. In ancient Greeks, listen carefully. If you want to get married, alright, as a man, the woman must not do anything. It's a law. If she does anything, the marriage will not hold. The man must do everything. The man will provide everything for in-laws. Provide if one of her brothers say, I need a laptop, it will not hold till the man provides it. That was their tradition. It was a taboo for the woman to give anything for marriage. Right, not like today's world. Hallelujah to Jesus. So anytime somebody does a wedding ceremony, it's a sober moment. On one side, people are excited. On another side, the guys are consoling the guy. Car, you tried. You tried. Because they know the guy went through a lot. You see, for the guy to be quite consoled, there's something, and we can tell how greedy the guy is by the size of the spot, or the Bible calls it spot. Go back there now. It calls it spot or wrinkle. Spot or wrinkle. Meaning the spot is still the wrinkle. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? It's a design on the woman's wedding gown that they call a spot or a wrinkle. That's what Paul was speaking, where Paul was speaking from. So the man will design the wedding gown for the wife and put a spot or a wrinkle, a big pocket. Let me call it designer's pocket. So that when the woman enters the ceremony, then people will be appreciating the man's effort by chucking money in the woman's designer's pocket, which is called a spot or a wrinkle. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? One of my friends said, why will they even chuck it in the woman's wedding gown? Why not even the man? Waiting man do man. Are we together? They are more appreciating the man than they are keeping it in the woman's. So how would the man even get all the money? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. But it was their tradition. Alright? Just to tell the man that they understand he truly did so much and they are appreciating him to reduce a lot of cost. And at the end of the wedding, some big men can come and say, that $20, $20,000, I'm the one that put it. So is it, you're not so confident about your wife because it seems like it's our wife. Say that our wife. If the man said that our wife, you can't even talk because he gave $20,000. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If he didn't keep that $20,000, you will be, maybe you'd have been in prison by now. So they talk, the culture entails that the people will now be talking confidently about your wife as if it's our wife. How to see it one time, I mean, in scripture is where Jesus spoke to some Pharisees. Can you remember? They said, if the brother died, another brother married her. When she died, another brother married. And I say, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Can you remember that? And Jesus looked at them as unserious people. So if they help you to marry and you are no more, the one that gave the highest will come and say, okay, it's time to come into my home. That $20,000 your husband used to cover, I was the one that gave it. Now, Jesus didn't want anybody to brag about his church, the bride. He's the groom, the church is the bride. He doesn't want any, because you see, the second coming of Jesus is also likened to the wedding feast of the Lamb. It's also called the wedding feast of the Lamb. He wants the church to be entering the wedding ceremony confidently without designer's pocket, spot or... So that nobody will say, I added money to make Jesus' bride look fine. He wants to take all the glory. So we don't need man-made ideas for the church. Our church no believe this. That is what is causing trouble. Remove your own ideology. Allow Jesus to beautify his church. That's what is causing trouble. If you observe, doctrine is the challenge of the Nigerian church. Because a man will tell you, I believe this, but I don't believe this. And you see, doctrine is so powerful that if a people are used to it, they will even fight you when you're about to change it. You don't know of a popular church, the man tried to change some doctrines. What did the church tell him? The elders, they sat him down and said, we will sack you. They now prefer the doctrines more than the man that started the doctrine. And that's the devil likes it. Derek Prince, in his Of Blessed Memory, in his book, wrote the book called Lucifer Exposed. He said, anytime Satan sees a lie, he strengthens that lie to become a fortress. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So that that lie, many years to come, that lie will hinder people from seeing the truth. See what Jesus said. If the light in you be, how great is the darkness? Meaning people in a greater darkness are not those in the world. They are those in the church with a wrong perspective of God. They were the one that killed Jesus. They said, his blood be upon us. Even Pilate washed off his hands. He said, I don't find no reason to do it. The Pharisees, the high priests, the bishops, they said, crucify him. Why? He negated their beliefs. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You see, that demon is in religion. That's why sometimes even your relatives may hate you for doctrine. It's a demonic thing. And that is why you should be simple, so that the word of God will give you light and what? Understanding. Like a child. He said, the kingdom of God belongs to these little children. Be like a little child to understand the kingdom. Thank you, man. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Little wonder he said in his word, metanoion, for the kingdom of God has come. Have a different perspective about the kingdom. Where's the kingdom? It's around you. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. As it is in heaven, so shall it be upon the face of the earth. And the reason why he wants you to live above sin is because of this part of scripture. Then we pray, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. I want everybody to read before we pray. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Want to go. Do you not know that your what? The unrighteous will know what? Do not be deceived. Neither what? No what? No what? No what? Homosexual. No what? Sodomite. He said they cannot inherit the kingdom. Meaning God is banking on humans in the right frame of mind, like he ordained, to what? Inherit the kingdom. We are conduits and subjects of this kingdom. It is through us that God wants to bring the heaven's reality to the earth. So he needs us to inherit it to the earth. But he said, if a man is unrighteous, he cannot use that man. He said, if a man is a fornicator, if a man is an idolater, if a man is an adulterer, homosexual, sodomite, he said, he cannot use such a man. And that is why he defeated sin, even sin in the cross, for you. He didn't just leave you helpless. If he tells you a responsibility, he has already gone ahead of you to make sure the path is straight. God cannot tell you to do what you cannot do. He made you. Nobody understands the creation like the Creator. Nobody knows you more than God. Not even scientists know you. They call you a higher animal. That's the best they know. But you are God's image and likeness. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you see yourself from this perspective, you will live and reign like the devil never existed. He doesn't even exist. It's the truth. From our past, you know, there's a message I did many years ago on YouTube. I said the devil is dead. He's destroyed. Is he in the Bible? Hebrews 2:14. Amplify rendition. A good preacher ends three times. One to go. Therefore, since this is what? The physical what? Himself in the what? Also shared in the same one. But without, so that through what? Him my what? Ineffective, impotent, him who has the power of death. That is the devil. The devil had power. The devil does not have power. He is impotent. He cannot produce anything. Have you ever heard they say somebody is impotent? He can't produce a child. Oh, death, where is thy sting? The devil is destroyed. The devil is dead. He that made you to smoke is gone. Quit smoking. He that took you into that life of addiction is dead. Quit it. Pastor, how should I stop? Just stop. How should I stop? I mean, stop. The person causing you to do it is dead. Stop. He's only operating through your mindset now. He's just lying to you. He's a liar. He's lying to you that he's alive. The Bible says he's destroyed. He said, now all authority. You know, somebody told me one time, I said, God said, I've given you power over the power of the enemy. I said, that's before Jesus resurrected. See the Bible in Colossians 2 and 14. See what happened when he resurrected. When he resurrected, he did something different. Having canceled out the certificate of death, consisting of legal demands which were in force against us, and which were hostile to us, and this certificate he has set aside and completely removed by what? Nailing it to the cross. Next part of scripture is that when he what? Disarmed the rulers. And what? Those what? Operating. He made a what? Exhibiting them in a what? Captive in his what? Triumph. Having what? True what? Satan had power. He said, I gave you power. That's what he told the 12. Over the power of the enemy. But when he resurrected, he said, now all power, all authority, not some. Somebody say all. Matthew 28. He said, all authority has been given to me. When he resurrected, he was given a name. A name far above all names. That at the mention, not at the mention, at the name of Jesus, every knee and every word tongue confesses that what? Jesus is God. You see that? Satan has no power. The only thing operating against you is his lies in your head. His lies. He's a liar. And anytime he sees lies, he's happy. That's why he likes religion. Religion is full of lies. He's happy. He wants you to look all cool and still unrighteous. They worship me with their mouth, but their heart are far. Chairman church council meeting is a thief. I will never forget this, and I say this is all humility. Many years ago in Kaduna State, we were in the choir band, and the chairman church council meeting was trying to sleep with the head, our lead vocalist. She went to look for a job in NDA. He was trying to sleep with her. She came and was crying. The mother called us. She told us the problem. And we're like, you know, nobody would even believe us. And they still preferred him because probably he had the cash, you know. And he would always come and say, praise Master Jesus. And we used to hit the drum when he says it. But that day when she brought the report, when he did praise, he was so shocked. The atmosphere was cold. We were all outside. We couldn't bear it. Those are the people Jesus flogged away from the church. And the only thing that can sustain such people is religion. Religion. Are you listening to me? If you really mean business with God, you cannot be in religious atmospheres. They say, why do they pray in tongues? They'll just come and say, Do they know what they are saying? Yeah, people talk like that. God resurrected, gave you Holy Spirit. Say, pray in tongues. You have problem with praying in tongues. He said, no, you want to be calm and collected. They don't shout in church. But when you are in club, you are shouting. They don't shout in church. Jesus does not shout. He's cool. Did you read your Bible very well? The Bible said they were in the upper room. So cold. So scared of the Pharisees and the soldiers. Jesus just entered. He disappeared and entered. He said, all hell! That's what Jesus said. He shouted and everybody raised their hands. Somebody told me, we don't believe in praying in tongues because our church is not like that, blah, blah, blah. And I said, wait a minute, wait. Let me show you something. At the upper room, how many disciples were there? He mentioned. I said, who again was there? Think about it. He said, nobody. I said, let me remind you. There was Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible did not say they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and had clovens of fire on their head. But when he got to Mary, they now removed it and put on another person. The Bible said they were all filled. And they began to pray in other tongues, including Mary. Hey! I hope you know Mary prayed in tongues. He said, no, my Mary does not. No, my Mary is all cool. She prayed in tongues. Isn't your check it? If you are angry with me for telling me you have a problem, she prayed. Serious tongues. Capital letter tongues. Romans 8:26. We don't know how to pray as we ought to. Do you know tomorrow? Do you know everything that will happen 5 minutes from now? We don't know tomorrow, but we know how to take advantage of tomorrow. It's by praying in the spirit. Everything should be determined by the creator. He is the designer of our world. We can't tell him how to do things. He's the one that tells us how things should happen. He said, likewise, the spirit also helps our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray as we should pray. He said, but the spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Next part of scripture. Then it says, now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of what the mind of the spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes intercession for who? The saints, me and you, according to what? The will of God. Next part of scripture. How does he make the intercession? He said, and we know, all right, that let's see from verse 26 here. Is it 26? Because he makes intercession for the saints with what? But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings. Go back to 26. Let's hit that point part. He said, with what? Groanings which cannot be uttered. Groanings. What are groanings? Libra hasha branduzi vahai. Yeah, this is no English. This is not Udenina. No. They are tongues of men and they are tongues of angels. See, no, but the disciples, they prayed in tongues. You can't pray in tongues of men. You know, listen, they preach in tongues of men. They did not pray in tongues of men. I don't know that you're getting what I'm trying to say. And we have seen that testimony. I know a preacher who spoke Portuguese for the first time entering the city. God said, close your eye, close your eye. He said, pray in tongues. He started praying. People were coming and dropping money that they were blessed. He was like, I don't know what I was saying. They said, we know what you were saying. Somebody that knows English said, you preach one of the best sermons I've ever heard in my life. What was he doing? Libra, hasha, blah, blah, blah. He was just one of tongues of angels. That one no man understands. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul said, when we pray in tongues of angels, we edify ourselves. You have been crying that things are not working for you. God said, pray in tongues. You are still against tongues. Crying that things are not working for you. You want God to come down and do it. You may die poor. I tell you the truth. You may die in that sickness. I tell you the truth. A lot of times people suffer because of their stubbornness and ignorance. They are crying a church on their head. I was born here. I will remain here. I will die there. You will truly die there. I see people who are suffering, yet stubborn. Are you listening to me? See what God said. Pray in the spirit. I told you an experience. Somebody rushed to my office. He said, Pastor, I want to pray in tongues. I said, just like that. The guy has been coming to church. Anytime we separate, he will be smiling at the back. Just be smiling and looking at me. He now got to him that everybody dies November in their house. And his elder sister just died last November. It was getting to November. Somehow he said he started feeling some kind of thing he has never felt in his body before. I said, so why are you coming here? He said, I want to pray in tongues. I said, just like that. He said, sir, I don't want to die. Please help me. I said, okay, let's lead you to Christ. Become born again first. I held his hand. I said, okay, we'll pray for you on Tuesday. He said, sir, please, can I pray now? Is it not possible? I just taught him small. I said, lift your hands. Before I say receive, he has received. He started praying in tongues. Why? He didn't want to die. Some of you speak in English. You have not seen problem. That's why you speak English. How can I be doing? That's not the more. That's not classy. That's old school. Those are barbarians. We barbarians. You know, I told somebody one time. I said, if I was in your field, I'll be 10 times better than you. I'm not doing this thing because I don't have a job. I'm doing this because God called me. It's not a joke. All our pastors here, we are not failures in school. We were the best. We are doing it because God called us to do it. Are you listening to me? Very important. And God said, I will use the foolish things of the world to confirm the wise. Tongues that you think is foolish, you use it to confirm the wise. I don't know if I shared this testimony on my mother's head many years ago on campus 211. I dreamt my father died. I dreamt he died. So I woke up and started praying in tongues in the midnight. And when I woke up the next morning, I don't know if she can remember. I called her. I said, what's happening? She said, something happened in the house. I said, what's that? He said, your dad went somewhere. They gave him a drink. He now decided to put it in nylon and bring it home. I don't know if she can remember. She now said, when they opened the drink to put in the cup and you know, to step down, you know, soldiers, how they step down sometimes. Then suddenly, then I discovered one ball. One thing like a ball inside. So he now removed it. He pressed it, he didn't want to break. Then I took it outside and pressed it. I think it busted blood or something. And the thing was swelling before it now broke. That simply means if he drank it, that thing would have been swelling in his stomach till he would have died. But how did I come into the situation? Somehow I had a burden. And I woke up and I started what? Praying. And somehow that happened. We don't know how to pray as we ought to. But the Spirit what? Helped that infirmity what? Groanings that cannot be uttered. You see that? You will not be experiencing batting around you when you learn to pray in the Spirit. Glory to God forevermore. Are you here tonight? Are you ready to pray in the Spirit? Are you ready to pray in the Spirit? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Be on your feet as we just pray in other tongues. We are done with the first service. Lift your hands. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless His name. Worship Him. We lift our hands to you, possessor of the heavens, possessor of the earth. Lord, you are holy. You are the great and mighty God of all the earth. God of all the earth. Lord, you are holy. Shabbatabaya. We lift our hands to you, possessor of the hands. Possessor of the earth. Lord, you are holy. Go ahead, lift up your voice and pray. You are the great and mighty God of all the earth. God of all the earth. Lord, you are holy. We lift our hands to you, possessor. We lift our hands to you, possessor of the earth. Possessor of the earth. Lord, you are holy. You are the great I am. You are the great and mighty God of all the earth. Lift your voices and pray, everyone. We'll lift our voice. We'll lift our hands. Shala bragada baso prakatya. You are holy. You are the great and mighty God, oh, God of all the earth. One more time. We'll lift our hands. We'll lift our hands. We'll lift our hands to you, possessor
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.